Up to Maisa, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Lozer, Azariah, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Tarfon, Shema Subin, Bivnei Brak. Some of the people listed over here were Abayim of Rabbi Akiva. Why were they sitting by the Seder Rabbi Kiva? The Talmud goes to the Rebbe. The Rebbe doesn't come to the Talmud to have his Seder. So why were his Rabbayim sitting with Rabbi Kiva? So the answer is, if you look this in his Haggadah, the Aruch Haner has Haggadah, he writes like this. If you look at the end of Makkos, the famous Gemara, when Rabbi Kiva and the other Tanoim were walking past the Churban Abayis, they were all crying, and Rabbi Kiva was laughing. And they said to Rabbi Kiva, why are you crying? And he said to them, why are you laughing? So they said, they explained they're crying because of the Churban, and then he explained that just like the Nevuah, the Beis Hamikdash would be destroyed with Mekuyim, also, the Nevuah, the Abayis Shlishi, would also be Mekuyim. And they said to Rabbi Kiva, Necham Tono, Rabbi Kiva, Necham Tono, you've comforted us, Rabbi Kiva. We see from this, Rabbi Kiva, he had a better understanding of Golas and Gula than anybody in his day. He was the expert when it came to Golas and Gula. So when it comes for Sipi Yitzchias Mitzrayim, the whole night we're discussing Golas and Gula. He was the Godlai Doyer, they went to Rabbi Kiva. But it's more than that as well. They had just experienced a churban. They were depressed. The years before, every year, they had been eating a korban Pesach. And now, for the first time, they're eating just that zeicha, that afikomen, a zeicha of the korban Pesach. They see that shank bone there, a zeicha of the korban Pesach. You can imagine how depressed they were at the time. How can we celebrate a chag ha-geula in a zman like this? They were being hounded by the Romans. The only possible way to feel a Simchas Yontov was with the chizik of Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva, just like when they went past the Churban, he was able to be mechazik then. He would be able to, the night of Pesach, give him that chizik. But that is also, we have to remember, Rabbi Kiva's whole life was lived like that. You see over and over again how Rabbi Kiva, in the most tragic times, he was the one who could always continue. When 24,000 Talmidim died, he continued on. When he was out in the forest one night, and the lamp went out, and his donkey was eaten by a lion, and called over Rachmana Tavovit, Rabbi Kiva's the one who said it. When his Rebbe was dying, they're all crying, and Rabbi Kiva's laughing. He could always see the light in the darkness. That was the place to spend for the Seder. It's the only place they were able that year to have the Seder. Poshut, you could say Pshat is, why they bear Rabbi Kiva, and the Maritz Chias, I think it learns like this, is that you see many stories when they were traveling by boat, and the boat probably arrived back Erev Yontov, and there was no place to go close by. They couldn't get home. The closest place to get to was Bnei Brak. Rabbi Kiva was the Rav in Bnei Brak. From Yaffa to Bnei Brak is just a short trip. So they landed up by Rabbi Kiva's house. That was the only place they could reach. It would make sense that, because that would answer the question, how could Rabbi Loza be Rabbi Kiva for the Seder? Rabbi Loza is the one in Sukkah who says, Meshabeach ani esatzlonin, I praise lazy people. Got to be careful not to take that Gemara out of context. I praise lazy people who stay at home for Yontov. So Rabbi Loza was away for Yontov. How could he be away? He should have been with the Mishpacha. It could be he got stuck there by Rabbi Kiva. Now, why does it mention where it took place? It mentions it took place as Rabbi Lezer held the mitzvah of Korban Pesach is only until Chatzos, which would mean Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the mitzvah, finishes at Chatzos. And you see over here that they sat all night. We understand the others are sitting all night. They hold the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, goes until the morning. But why is Rabbi Lozer sitting there the whole night? The mitzvah is over at Chatzos. And the answer is that the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin Lamed Beis that Rabbi Kiva was the Rav of Bnei Brak. So since he was the Moira De'asa there, Rabbi Lozer had to go along with Rabbi Kiva. The psak in that town was like Rabbi Kiva, and he had to sit there all night for the Seder. Why didn't they realize that it was the Zman Krishma? So the Parshat you'll learn is in the basement of time, the Romans are in hiding. But another way of understanding is the Yerushalmi in Chagiga says that at the bris of Acher, Aliyush ben Avuya, his father saw Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shua learning. These people from our story over here, they were sitting and learning, and they were surrounded by a fire. When they learned, the whole house lit up, and he was so impressed by it. He said, if that's what Torah is, I want to raise my son for Torah. So when they were sitting and with the Seder that night, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shua, you can be sure the whole house lit up from their Torah. How could they tell when it was morning? There was no difference. There was so much light from their Torah. Then it continues and says, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Hari ani kaven shiv mishona, v'lo zechisis shetoymi yitzis mitzrayim b'leilois, ad shadarsh ben zoyma. Why is it dafka ben zoyma? Ad shadarsh ben zoyma. Why did this help his drasha, that everybody listened when ben zoyma made the drasha? The Gemara in Sota says, Kishemes ben zoyma, when ben zoyma died, batla hadarshonim. He was the biggest expert in his day in drashas, how to dash the Torah. Once he said a drasha, everybody listened to it. The Rabbi Yonis Naibishitz, he explains and answers a very difficult question over here. Rabbi Loza said, Hari ani kiven shiv mshon. I'm like 70 years old. And I wasn't zoicha to say by night, Achadosh ben Zoyma. If he was 70 years old, you could say, okay, it took so long until he was able to prove that he was correct. But he was only 18 years old. He would have waited a little, maybe would have been able to. If he's only like 70, why is he surprised he wasn't yet able? And Zachisi means, I couldn't defeat them and show them that I'm correct. So Rabbi Yonis Naibishitz explains that you look at the Gemara in Brachas that tells us that when Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was asked to be Nasi, he checked with his wife. And she said to him, just like they removed Rabbi Gamliel, tomorrow they can remove you as well. And also, you don't have white hairs. You're not old enough at all. So he answered the kasha. And he said, if a person has a crystal cup, a valuable crystal cup, should you use it? Of course, use it if it breaks. At least till then you had use of it. So I'll be Nasi as long as I can. It's Kedai. But he never answered her the second question. You don't have white hairs. He could have very easily answered that question. He could have answered it with a Gemara, comes up in a couple of places. Psachim Chav Pei is one of the places. That Es Hashem Lekech Tira. The S there, Es Hashem Lekech Tira, it comes to include Tamid Chachamim. So of course they'll have respect. Here's the Nasi. And you have to have respect for the Talmud Chacham, for the Nasi. So of course, they're going to listen to me. So why didn't he answer that to his wife? And that was because he was an onav. He didn't want to say that right away. He had to think about it. He's going to say, I'm a Talmud Chacham, they're going to listen to me. So he didn't say anything. He went to bed that night. He wakes up in the morning, and he has white hair. So now Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah thinks to himself, one second, I have white hair. That doesn't make sense. Kshprocha made a nace. A Kshprocha doesn't make a nace for nothing. It must be that as Hashem Elokech Atira does not include Tamir Chachamim. Because if it did, we wouldn't need this nace at all. Just like the Gemara says, Shimon HaMasuni darshaned all the Esem Shema Torah until he came to as Hashem Elokech Atira. He said, what can I conclude from that S? Something fierce, something with Rabbeinu Shloim? There's nothing I can include. And he had darshaned, he had a thesis. His PhD. He had darshaned every S in the Torah. And he threw it all out. Kishem shekabalti schar adrisha. Just like I get schar for darshaning the Esim, I get schar for being perished from them. So he gave it up. All the Esim are wrong. You see, you can't darshan an S. Ad shebo Rabbi Kiva came along and said, the rabbis tamid chachamim. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, Shimon HaMasuni is right. Es Hashem elekech atira cannot include tamid chachamim. Because if it did, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't make that nace of my hair growing white. Why? Because I'm like 70 years old. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nace. That means you don't darshan the S Hashem Lekech HaTira. Oh, you don't darshan any S. So when the Pasuk says, Leman Tizkar Es Yom Tzeitcha, Meretz Mitzrayim, you can't darshan the S L'Rabbi Sassalelois. He would have darshan the S L'Rabbi Sassalelois, but now he couldn't darshan the S anymore. Ben Zoyma came along and said, no problem. You've got the coal you can darsh the Leilos from. Kol Yomei Chayecha includes our Leilos. That includes the night. We get to the Arba Bonim. We start off Chocham Mahu Oimim. So Musavad, you can say over here, is the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Mitzarf lekesef, v'kur lezav, v'ish lefi mahalalei. Perek Chof Zayin is this Pasuk, and it says there that you can test silver and gold in a furnace, and how do you test who a person is? Poshup Shat is how people praise him. You look up, you'll praise him, you know what type of person he is. The other way of learning the Pasuk is, you want to see what a type of person is, not lefi mahalaya, how people praise him, how he praises other things, how he talks, what is he impressed by? Does he come home and excited because the Yankees win? Or is he excited by Shtikl Torah? Ish, how do you tell a person lefi mahalaya? What's choshev to him? What he praises in life? Chacham, mahu, what he is, Omer, he says. You can tell a person what he says. You can tell if he's a chacham. You can tell if he's a rasha from his type, from his style of speech. You have the chacham and the rasha. Wouldn't it make more sense to have a tzaddik and a rasha? And the answer is the opposite of a rasha. To deal with a rasha, you can't just have a tzaddik. You've got to be a chacham to deal with a rasha. The main question you get when you get to the four sons is, the Chacham and the Rasha seem to be saying very similar things. The Rasha says, Moha voida zeis lachem. Oh, he used the word lachem. Right away we attack him. Lachem, you. Lachem veloy lo. You are not him. If he would have been there, he wouldn't have been redeemed. We knock out his teeth, we blunt his teeth. He said that word, lachem. What did the Chacham say? Mo ha eidz v'achut marishpotim, asher tziva Hashem elokeinu eschem. He used that same word, you, eschem. What's the difference between the Chacham and the Rasha? Many answers to this. We'll go through some of them. You look in the Torah. The Haggadah does not quote the Hakdama. Before you get to the question of the Chacham, Mo'edus, the Torah says, Ki yishol'cha bincha machar lemoy. When your son asks you tomorrow, saying, Mo'ed v'achuk ma'mishbotim. It begins, Ki yishol'cha. By the Rosh's question, Ki yoimru aleichem b'neichem. It says, Ki yoimru aleichem b'neichem. Mo'a ha'avoyd ezeis lachem. Ki yoimru. The Chacham uses a Lashnav, Ki yisholcha, he asks a question. By the Rosh, it says, Ki yoimru, he says. It's not a question, or it's what we call a rhetorical question. Just like I'm in class sometimes, you say to a kid, what are you doing? I know exactly what he's doing. It's not a question at all. The Rosh over here is not asking a question. He's making a statement. What are you doing? That is how you see as a Rosh. But Chacham says Kish Olcha. He's asking. Also, you see that the Chacham, it says, Kish Olcha Bincha Mocher Leimoy. He asks you tomorrow. First, he does the mitzvah, like we spoke about yesterday. He doesn't ask questions right away. There's a mitzvah to do, he does it. Like we said, it doesn't say, why do we eat matzah? We eat matzah. Afterwards, questions. That's the Chacham. Ki yisholcha bincha mochar, the next day. The Rosh is, ki yomru aleichem b'neichem. What are you doing? I'm not going to do it unless I understand it. That's the Rosh. He refuses to do without explanation first. Another mahalach is, the Chacham says, asher tziva Hashem elekeinu. He says the word Elekeinu. He includes himself also by saying Elekeinu. That is why you see that he doesn't mean Dafka you. And then a nice pshat you could say, but Derech Remez, not pshat, is you look at the word of the Rosha. It's Lochem. Lochem are the three middle letters of the Aleph base. The Chacham says Eschem. Eschem is the first letter in the Aleph base, the Aleph. The Sof is the last letter in the Aleph base. And the Chof Mem are the middle letters. In other words, the Chacham, he looks to the Aleph, he looks back to the past. He lives for the present. The Chof Mem is the present, the middle of the Aleph base. And then there's the Sof. He looks the consequence of his actions. What's going to happen from it? He looks to the future as well. The Rosha lives only in the present. He says, Lochem, the middle letters only. He wants to, the here and now, that's all that interests him. The Rosh is just like the Bar Mitzvah boy who gets up and says, I don't care about the past, I don't care about the future, all I care about is the present. The Rosh, it says, because he took himself out of the klal, Kafar Be'ika. He was denying the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is written back to front. He was Kofer Be'ika, and by being Kofer Be'ika, he was Hoisi Asman HaKlal. It's back to front over here. Well, if he's Hoisi Asman HaKlal, because he took himself out, he was Kofer Be'ika. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? First he was Kofer Be'ika, and through that was Moisi Asman HaKlal. So the Pshat is very simple. And also, you can ask another question. If he would have been there, he wouldn't have been saved. Well, today, because somebody is a Rosh, it means he would have been back then. Back then, he would have seen Adam, Mitzvardei, Akinim. He would have seen a Makas Becheres. He would have seen all those miracles. Maybe then, he would have been an Al-Khid. He would have done Tshuva then. Today, it's not so simple. We don't see Nisim all around us. So why does it say he wouldn't have been redeemed? So somebody once came, a famous story to Reb Chai, and he said, I left Yiddishkeit. And I have two questions. And if you answer me these two questions, I'll become an Alechi Yid again. I'll return to Yiddishkeit. You have to answer me these two questions I have. Reb Chaim said to him, when did you have these two questions? Before you went off the derech or after you went off the derech? He said, afterwards. She said, if so, they're not questions. They're just excuses. I can't answer an excuse. You're using them for reasons why you went off the derech. That is a Russia. A Russia will always find excuses. If he would have been back then, it wouldn't have made any difference at all. He would have had kashas then as well, the same kashas he has today. He would have found kashas. He wouldn't have believed. Because he wanted to give up Yiddishkeit. Because of that, it was Kofer Be'ika. He wasn't Kofer Be'ika, and then he was Moitzi Asman HaKlal. He came up with excuses because he went off the derech, so now he found all his kashas. He was Kofer Be'ika. We see by the Rosha that the psukim for the Rosha are different to the other sons. It's in the plural. Ki yoimru aleichem b'neichem. While by the Chacham it says, ki yisholcha bincha machaleimer. Singular. Why is the Rosha in the plural? So one pshat is that the Roshoim are always the Rabbim. You look today, how many people, how many Yidden are from Yidden? It's always a minimal amount. And in Mitzrayim would happen the same thing. Four-fifths died in Yimei HaChoshech. And they tie into the Rishoyim, Achri Rabbim Lahatois. So that's why the Rishoyim are written Rabbim. There's another Mahalach from Reb Simcha Zissel, Rashiv of Chevron, in his Haggadah Som Derech. He says, we're told, Lefidas Shel Ben, according to the Seichel of his son, Aviv Melamdo, his father, to teach him. So each son needs a different answer according to who he is, what level he's on. But the Rishoyim, we're not giving an answer to. So we can put them all together. All the other sons can't be together. Because each son, even every chacham is different. Every tom is different. It depends on his level, how you're going to answer him. But the Rishonim are all the same, because we're not answering them. There was a Rebbe who was once traveling home for Yontif. And he got stuck in a village on the way. He got stuck there for Pesach. So he had no choice. He had to stay by somebody. And a peasant put him up there, an Amoritz, and he was sitting by the side of this Amoritz, and when they came to Tom Mawaima, he started crying, "Oi, Tom Mawaima, oi, Tom, crying away copious tears. So after they moved on, he was calmed down a little. The Rebbe asked him, why was he crying so much when he said Tom Mawaima? So he said, well, in Pasha Pshat, in Russian, Tom means over there. So he understood it means like this, that over here, Baruch Hashem, we made this beautiful Seder, and we're sitting here all together, proffering a Seder. But Tom over there in Shemayim, our Ema, how do they look at our Avodah? Do they look at, we're doing such great mitzvahs over here? Tom over there, our Ema, what are they saying? That's how he understood it. So we tell the Rosh also, Li veloy loy. Ilu hayasham loy nigel. Me and not him. It started off, he's speaking directly to us. So we should answer him back, Li v'loy l'cha, me and not you. Why does it say me and not him? So Dubna Magna explains with the marshal of the fire department were putting out a large fire. And there was a danger of the neighbors' houses catching on fire. So they spritzed the water on the neighbors' houses. And they kept spritzing the two houses on the side that they shouldn't catch fire. Somebody comes over and he says, excuse me, sir, you're missing that. That's the house on fire. The ones you're putting, the water on, they're not on fire at all. So he says, the fire department said to me, "Nar, that house that's burning, it's gone already. We can't save that house. We want to at least protect the houses on the sides." This Rosh over here, he was a Kofa maker. He's not interested at all. To save him is not possible at all. But you want to save the other children. So we turn to the other children and we answer the question. What the Torah write, the answer to the Rosh is given to the Sheni Del Ishel. We turn to the Sheni Del Ishel. We turn to him and we say, "Leave Eloi Loi, me and not him. If he would have been there, he wouldn't have been saved. He can't be saved anymore. But the other children, we have to be careful with." We answer the Chacham's question with, "Ein maftirin achar Pesach afikomen." And I'm sure this bothered you all the years. How on earth does that answer the question? What are these chuk mishpot masha tziva Hashem lekeinu eschem? Don't worry. Ein maftirin achar Pesach afikomen. So there's one very simple pshat. If you have the girasa, Brisk Rovner's, I've got to bring down the girasa of, ad ein maftirin achar Pesach afikomen. If you had the girasa ad, it means all the Mishnah is psochim. The last Mishnah is, this is the end of Psochim. So it means teach him everything, he's a Chacham, until he gets to that last Mishnah, in Maftir Achar Pesach. But we don't have the Giras of Ad. How do you understand it? So we have to understand the question of the Chacham. The question of the Chacham is a question that the Chinuch asks, Mitzvah Tes Zayin. Mitzvah Tes Zayin in the Torah is, Loi Sishbru Etzemboi, not to break any bones in the Korban Pesach. So it's a very famous chinuch where he writes, "V'lomay yitzavilon Hashem kol eile zikaron isanes." Why are there so many mitzvahs in the Korban Pesach to remember the nisim that happened then? HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have given us one zikaron for it. So he says, "Kiloy mechachma she'alta zois." It's not a smart question. "V'ata b'ni, now my son, listen to me carefully," he says. And he tells you a yesoid that he says a few times. Odom nifal lefi po'id oisof. A person is affected by his actions. When you do something on a regular basis, you will become whatever that action you're doing will affect you. And he says, for example, a person who is a Rosh Hagomor and he starts learning Torah Basmoda and doing mitzvahs, even Shaloi L'Shem Shemayim, he will become a tzaddik. And he says the other way around too. Somebody's a tzaddik gomer, and by force, he's forced to do averus. Eventually, he'll become a rosha, just from the fact he's doing them. Odom nifal if he put leisov. A person is affected by his actions. That is the Chacham's question, what the Chinuch asked. Why are there so many mitzvahs about the Korban Pesach? So the Chinuch says, the reason is, because the more mitzvahs you do, his answer is, that's going to change who you are. That's going to make you into a better person. The more mitzvahs you have, the more mitzvahs you're doing, it will affect you. So what do we tell him? Ein maftir nachar Pesach afikomen. Why can't you eat after the afikomen? To leave the tam matzah b'fiv. To leave that taste with you. This is also, we do all these mitzvahs, to leave that effect on us, that we should become better people from us, just like the matzah should stay with us. Doing those mitzvahs would affect us for the rest of the year. A similar idea was said by the Belzerov, because he says, what does it mean, v'af ato emroloi? Also you should say to him. What's that word, v'af? So Belzerov explained, we're not telling the child an answer over here. We're telling the father how to answer the child. Va'af ata emeloi. Also you should answer him. How should you answer him? You should answer him in the same way, for the same reason as Ein maftir nachar Pesach afikomen. Ein maftir nachar Pesach is, achar Pesach afikomen is, you don't eat after afikomen to leave the tam matzah b'fiv. You want it to remain that taste with you. That idea is how you should answer him. Answer him in a way that will remain with him for the rest of his life. It's a mashal to how you should answer your child the question. Just like you see that Yisrael, my Yishma Yisrael, he'd heard all the Nisim of Mitzrayim. He'd heard it all before. But then Vayagid Moshe. Moshe came and told it to him again. And Yisrael then said, Baruch Hashem, it was said to him in such a way that inspired him, changed him who he was. It was the way that Moshe gave it over. That is how you've got to give it over, a way that's going to inspire. L'man tesaper b'ozne bincho ben bincho. They are going to be passed down through generations. Yochel Merish Chodesh. Talmud Loima Bayayimahu. I would think you should prove the Seid on Rosh Chodesh. Start already then. Not by Yom on that day. Why would I think Rosh Chodesh? Because in Rosh Chodesh, they're already told they're going to come out of Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said something. You could already celebrate. It's already happening. It's a Matthias. You know it's true. So I would have thought you could already celebrate then. Not by Yom Ahu. When it actually takes place, that is when you celebrate. Right, just one more point on the Shein Deil Ishel. I left out, it says, At Psachloi, At Loshna Kevam. So I had a very interesting pshat, why Loshna Kevam? The Gemara in Kedushin tells us, Tes Kabin Sicha, Asora Kabin Sicha Yarda La'olam. 10 measurements of talking came down to this world, of dialogue, of schmoozing. Tes Not L'noshim. 9 of the measurements were taken by women. Now that Gemara sounds very derogatory to women. But that's not what it means. What it means is that women are articulate. Women can explain themselves. If anybody has sons and daughters, he knows. Your daughter comes home from school and you ask her what happened that day. And for the next 15 minutes, she's darshening about it. You ask your son what happened that day. And he says, okay, fine. 2 words. Men aren't able to articulate the same way as women. Up, Sachloi. You have to tell him the way in a cave, it says over, with clarity. Very schwer the words. How could it be from the beginning? The Gemara in Bracha says, Ein Kurin La'ovis Ela Shloisha. We only have 3 ovis. Our DNA doesn't go back further than that. It stops there. So you have to explain Pshat is. Mitchila means, was before HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us close. Before we became Am Yisrael, then we went all the way back. Once we became Klal Yisrael, then it stops. But Mitchila doesn't mean, Mitchila means at the beginning. Before there was an Am Yisrael, and once we became Klal Yisrael, then it's no more. Baruch Shoyim Avtechosel Yisrael. So we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he kept his promise to Klal Yisrael. He promised HaKadosh Baruch Hu they're going to be in a land not theirs for 400 years, and then they're going to come out, Baruch Hush Godah. Rashi says on the Pasuk, Daber Noah Bozneom, speak to the people, tell them please, please they should ask the Mitzrayim to give them all their gold and silver. That Tzaddik Avraham shouldn't say that part of the deal you kept, and the part of you didn't keep. So please make sure they take the stuff from the Mitzrayim. And everybody asked the question, what do you mean? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a promise, he has to keep the promise. What has he got to do with Avraham Avinu? That Avraham Avinu shouldn't have tainus. He's telling us to keep the promise. He promised they're going to come out Ruchush Godel. So Rav Druk, Mordechai Druk was a Magid in Eretz Yisrael, and he said over that during the Holocaust, the Kloisenberger was in the camps, and he took a 2-minute break when he was working. And while he was resting there was a person next to him, a Meshumad, a person who was a Kaifer, and he said to him, you know, I'll see you in Olam Habo, I'm also going to Olam Habo. So the Kloisenberger Rebbe said to him, you're going to Olam Habo? You're at Meshumad. You're not going to Olam Habo. So he said to him, excuse me. Hitler, Yimach Shemoi, he checked back 3 generations and said, I'm a Yid. If I'm good enough for Hitler to be a Jew, I'm good enough to be a Jew to go to Gan Eden as well. I suffered as a Jew, I'm going to get the Schar as a Jew also. And the Kloisenberg Rebbe said, this, now I understand, Pshat over here in Haggadah. Klai Yisrael did Avodah Zarah. They weren't Klai Yisrael anymore. The promise HaKadosh Baruch Hu made was to a Klai Yisrael. But they were going mitoch, they were like all mixed up over there. They're not Yidden anymore. So I also promised HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he didn't have to. But Avraham is going to say, 1 second, the 210 years or the 400 years, that part of it you kept. For that they were Jews. It was good enough for that part of the promise. And the other part you didn't keep, you have to take them out. Once you did that part, you have to do the other part as well. Right after that is Vihi She'omda. And they all ask, what's the Vihi that stood by us? So the simple pshat is, Baruch Shem after Chosli Yisrael. And what we just said previously, we can understand it a little clearer. It's very interesting when you look at Baruch Shem after Chosli Yisrael, he kept his promise, it quotes Psukim. It quotes the Pasuk of, Vayom el Avram, Yodea Teda, Ki Ge Yezarecha Be'eretz Loilohem. It doesn't say which country it's going to be. Va'avod minu ois arba me'eshona. V'gamis agoy, the nation. Doesn't say where the nation is. Which land, which nation. Not mentioned at all. With that we can understand that the Rambam asks, why did the Mitzrayim get punished? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said this was going to happen. So if this was going to happen, they were doing a mitzvah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to happen. They were mekayim a mitzvah. The answer is HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't say Mitzrayim should do it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it's going to happen to Klal Yisrael. Mitzrayim came along and they offered, oh, we'll do it for you. Nobody asked them to do it. Who are they to mix in and do it? So because they chose, it was their free will, they went. So that's why they suffered. That's why they got punished. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote it as a blank check. It doesn't say who, it doesn't say which nation. It comes out that in any generation, when they come to destroy us, and every time that happens, this was a blank check for any nation who starts up with us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a promise, I'm going to pay them back. Baruch Shem after Chose kept his promise. He wrote it in such a way, he left it open, that way we are protected in every generation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is promising to take care of us. And anybody who starts up with us is going to get punished back by the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what stood by us. That in every generation, when they came to destroy us, we couldn't point back to that pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of them. There's something I saw this year, which when I saw it, it almost blew my mind. That we pick up the kois by Vihi She'omda. It seems such a posh dakasha. And we sing with gusto. What are we singing? Shebechol doir v'doir oimdim olein l'chaloseinu. In every generation they tried to destroy us. We are singing. They made crusades. They made pogroms. They made blood libels and intifada. They killed 6 million. That's something to sing with excitement about. That's sad. You should use the Eichon Nigun for it. Yeah, at the end it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Matzileinu Yodim, he saved us. Yeah, the Remna. How many were left in Klal Yisrael? 6 million died. Yes, there were millions left. But look what percentage of Klal Yisrael died. So it's not something to sing about. Baruch Hashem, Klal Yisrael survived. It's a very sad thing. How come over here we're singing it with gusto? And the answer is so beautiful. There was a person who was very poor. And he lived in an apartment. And he was in trouble paying the rent. And the Balabais would kick him out. And he would end up in another apartment. He was always moving around. People in town felt very bad for him. And the Chevra got together. They bought him a house. It wasn't much of a house. The roof was leaking. The walls were caving in. It was like a collapsing the house almost. But this man was so excited. He had a place to call home. And he moved into this house. The first night is in the house. In the middle of the night, he hears people trying to break in, to break the lock on the front door. He goes down there and he chases them away. The next night he's trying to sleep. And he finds there's people trying to break into a window on the upstairs floor. The third night he looks out the window, sees people hiding in the bushes. He says to his wife, this makes no sense. Look what this house looks like. It must be there's some treasure here. We've got to find that treasure. If they want to break in so much, there's something really special. We've got to look and find this treasure now. You look at Klal Yisrael. What are we? 15 million Jews in the world out of 7 billion. There are other religions that nobody's even heard of as big as Judaism. Jainism. How many people know about Jainism? Different religions out there. Mamish almost non-existent. Eretz Yisrael, the size of New Jersey. There's more people in New York than there is in the whole of Eretz Yisrael. You take a New York Times in 1 year and you will find more words written about Eretz Yisrael than written about China, with China's 1.25 billion people there. Look at the size of China. The whole world in every generation is focused on us, trying to destroy us. Why is that? There's got to be something very special. We're an Am Segula. We have a treasure and they know it. They want to get to that treasure. But we have to realize we have the treasure. There was a Yid who came to the Beis Din in London. And he said to them that 50 years ago, a little before the Holocaust started, there was a friend of his who foresaw what was going to happen. He sold off his business and he took the money, bought diamonds with it. And then he buried the diamonds in his yard. And the seed came from the Bez and he said, he showed me where the diamonds were buried. And he says, I want you to know they're here. And just in case anything ever happens to me, so you'll make sure that my son gets these diamonds. And then war broke out. And this man died in the concentration camp, the one who hid the diamonds. His friend survived. After the war, he went back and he found those diamonds worth millions of dollars. And he spent the next 50 years trying to track down this man's son. And he wasn't able to find him. And now he came to the Beis Din, what should I do with his diamonds? I don't know what to do with them. What's the right thing to do? So the Dayanim asked him, who was the man, which town did he come from? One of the Dayanim said, I know somebody who survived from that village. I'm going to try to make my inquiries. And a few weeks later, he came back and he said, I tracked down the person. It's not surprising he never found his son, because Nebuch is a homeless, broken person who sleeps sometimes in the basement, sometimes in shuls. He has nothing. And so they got a hold of this man, and they told him the news. There's a multimillionaire. And when they told him that, he burst into tears. He was so broken. And he said, oi. He said, after the war, many, many people were able to get their lives back together again, to be able to live a successful life. I was too broken to do anything. I wasn't able to move on. If I would have had that money, maybe I could have lived a normal life. But I didn't have the money. This man was a multimillionaire. He had a treasure. He didn't know he had a treasure. We're Klal Yisrael, Am Segula. We have to make sure we know that we have that treasure. V'hi she'omda, we lift up the cup. Why do we lift up the cup of wine when we say V'hi she'omda? So the Gemara in Erevin Samachem Abay says, Yochlani lifter is kalo elam in adin. One of the Meroim said, I could patter the whole world from din. Because the Novi Yirmiyahu said, Shikura ani v'loy miyoyin. I'm shikur, not from wine. Meaning, golus is like shikras. A person's in golus, you're suffering so much. You can't live normally. So how can you blame somebody that's aveiros when he's in golus? So he said, I could patter the world from din with this excuse of shikras. Klal Yisrael, when they're in Mitzrayim, halolo yiv David Zora, valolo yiv David Zora. What excuse did they have? The Sultan is mekatrik against them. Why then he better than Mitzrayim? But they had excuse. Shikura, Nebuch, they're in Golas, v'loy miyoy, not from wine. So we pick up the wine as a symbolism. That's what saved us in Mitzrayim. The fact that we had this excuse that we were shikur, we weren't able then to do anything. We would have done it if we would have been able to. We cover the matzah, which is a deraisa, and we pick up the cup of wine, which is a mitzvah rabbonon, as if to say, the mesorah of listening to the chachamim, the hi she'omda, that is what stood by us, that we were listening to the mesorah, we were listening to the chachamim in every generation. Chazal made a gzeira on stam yayin. Why? That we shouldn't come to marry. You shouldn't come to marry the Goyish families. So we raise the cup to show this is what protected us in the Golas. Between Bais Rishon and Bais Sheni, Nebuch, how many survived? How many came back to Bais Sheni? Very few people went up for that Gula. So many of them had intermarried. Why? They didn't have the Tekonos of Chazal then. They didn't have the Is of Stam Yayin. They assimilated. But then Chazal made the Is of Stam Yayin, and that has protected us ever since then. So we lift up that cup because that stood by us through the Golas and separated us from the Goyim. The Nativ and the Sapparov say, the He Shomda that stood by us, what's it referring to? It's referring to the next words that we say, Shelo Yechod Bilvad Omed Aleinu Chaleseinu, Elo Shebechol Dovidoyer, Omed Aleinu Chaleseinu. The fact that the Goyim tried in every generation to destroy us, That is what kept us as Yidden. The biggest danger for Klal Yisrael is when things go well, when we get too comfortable in a country. The Gemara in Brachos says there are three watches to the night. At the end of the first watch, the first third of the night, the donkey brays. At the end of the second watch, the dogs bark. It's a simon malachamovis be'er. That is, dogs bark. And the third one, a wife talking to her husband. What are the three watches of the night? The night means the golus. And the first type of golus is a donkey braying. A donkey does back-breaking work. Labor. And that is the goyim, they force us to work for them. Taxes. That's one type of golus. The second type of golus is dogs barking. Malachamovis bolair. Death camps. Suicide bombers. And then there's the third golus. A wife talking to her husband. Says the Maral, a holocaust of love. A holocaust where they're so nice to us. More people have assimilated in America than were lost in World War II. That assimilation, when they're nice to us, is very dangerous as well. The Abarbanel said, why is Klal Yisrael compared to stars? And the Abarbanel lived in 1492. He saw this clearly. He said, the darker the night, the brighter they shine. You look at the greatest heroes in Klal Yisrael history. People like Rabbi Akiva, people like Rashi, the Ramban. Look at the times they lived in, the Shach. You look at the difficult times. They're the ones who shined in Klal Yisrael. They were the brightest stars. And that is what kept us. The Shaloi Echad Bilvad, that they're always trying to get us, that kept us separate from the Goyim. You'll say, yeah, that's because if we would be nice to them, they wouldn't try and destroy us. We should be mixed with them more. Then we'd be friends with them. And that's why we continue. Say Olamad, Ma Bikesh Lovna Rami, lastly Yaakov Avinu. Nobody could have done better than Yaakov. He intermarried. He married to Lovin's family. And you see how much did it help him. And still, Lovin Bikesh Laker Zakoel. Even though we mixed with him, that doesn't help at all. They always want to get us. And then it says, a remez there. What is it that destroyed us in every generation? Shaloi Echod, that we, Klal Yisrael, weren't one. Bilvad, that is the only thing. Amar Aleinu L'chaleseinu. If we would have been united, if we would have had Achdus, there never would be problems. But it's the fact that we're not united. That's what upsets Rabbeinu Shlom. That is the only thing that stands over us to destroy us. Akash from Pesach.